Hey, everybody. Welcome back to our podcast, Untamed Terrain, where we share our journey traversing life's chaos with our big blended family.
Yeah, so today's episode, we're going to talk about the role of a step-parent. And both of us being divorced twice, you guys have heard our story in the first episode. What are our roles for each other's kids? How do we navigate the co-parenting, the lives of kids going back and forth, and how does all of this fit into our daily lives? And so I'll let you get started on your history.
Right. One of my favorite quotes is, "The truth doesn't hurt unless it ought to." And that was given by Forbes of Forbes magazine. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of going into this where I want to lead from, because as we said, one of our ground rules for this podcast is not to air dirty laundry or disparage anybody. But unfortunately, you know, experiences happen, and learning the bad news of your experience can sometimes, you know, make a huge difference. So, I just kind of wanted to precurse that because, you know, my story of learning how to be a step parent, came from my children's stepmother. She came into my kids' lives when my oldest son was 4 and my youngest was, about a year and a half. And, you know, through a bunch of travesties, I should say, I didn't raise my oldest sons, and we'll talk about that on another episode. But she was, you know, the mother in their lives for a long time. I got to see them, you know, as often as I could, but we lived 700 miles away, and the trajectory of my life was such that, you know, they weren't in my life a lot as kids. And so it was really hard to come to terms with the fact that there was another mother figure in their lives. Mm-hmm. But it was made even harder by the way in which that happened. She would often force my kids into calling her mom. And when the youngest of the set didn't call her mom, there was a lot, he was punished for it. And I remember very specifically, my older son had just recovered from a broken arm. He was at the park and he fell off a play apparatus and broke his arm again. And we were close to their house because I was picking them up for their time with me. And we rushed, arm was very visibly broken. And I was sitting on the hospital bed next to him, and she came sweeping in and grabbed his face and turned it away from me and said, "Don't worry, your mom's here." And I just, it floored me. It floored me because I felt, you know, there was obviously the pain of not of being that mom who doesn't raise their kids. I mean, what mom has that burden? You know, just to kind of, you know, give myself a little saving grace here, I wasn't an addict. I wasn't abusive. I wasn't an alcoholic. It was, you know, something that was kind of out of, well, it wasn't out of my control, but something I was kind of blindsided with. But we'll talk about that in another episode. But I was already dealing with that pain and that guilt of not raising my kids. And then to have this woman step in and basically diminish my value, it was a learning experience for me, right? And it helped form the kind of stepmom that I became. How I was treated as the bio mom, I was very respectful to my stepdaughter's mother. I still consider them my stepdaughters. They still know that I'm there for them. Hopefully, I wish them happy birthdays all the time. They're beautiful, successful, strong women. Right. They're both adults now. But I was very respectful of their mother's role and never wanted to replace her because I knew how difficult that was as a bio mom.
Right.
I would always defer to her and to their dad and how they were raising those girls. My only role is to step in and to support the biological parents and to be another adult. And, you know, as I said to your boys when we got married, my toast at our wedding was to your boys and about the role I intended to play in their life. I am another cheerleader in the stands. I am another chauffeur to get you to where you need to be. I am another person to help you with your homework. but I'm not your mother and I will never replace her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think your experience has been huge in stepping into the role that you are with my five boys. This is my first time being a actual step parent. I think I dated once with somebody who had kids, but didn't last very long. And so kind of following your lead, I've let your kids know that I'm there for them. If they need me, I'm always there. I'm there to protect them. I'm there to, just as I would my own kids. I'm there if they have questions about life. I'm there if they need help working on their vehicles, whatever it is a typical parent would do. I'm there to help them out. But knowing that their parents are still very much in the picture, then that's their go-to is you and their biological fathers. But I do see that for me, my role is to lead by example, be an example of how to love you, how to raise respectful children and give them a reason to say, hey, I will always trust you. I will always believe in you. And I try not to overstep any boundaries. And we talked about boundaries when we got married as far as what our roles are for each other's children. And you did definitely lay that out in our wedding toast. And I think they appreciated that and they respected that. And so being in this role of a step-parent is very similar to raising my own children. It's just like, look, hey, clean up after yourselves. Do these things that we need to groom you into being a responsible adult in life and hopefully give you a little inspiration to what you want to do in your future. And be there as your cheerleader, be there as your support. So for me, it's still a learning experience. It's an ongoing experience. We've had a couple events that have tested that for us with each other's kids. And it's like, okay, this is how we're going to do it. This is how we're going to navigate it. And the good thing is that you and I will talk about it prior to going out to the children and saying, this is your consequence or this is whatever it may be. You and I are always in good communication. I think setting that example for them has been paramount in showing them what a step parent should be and what a good role model we should be for them.
Absolutely. You know, and when we got married, when we started dating, I know that you had dated somebody who didn't have kids and, you know, it's hard to step into a family with kids.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine not having kids stepping into that role. It just so happens that, you know, you had one more child than I did, but I'd been a boy mom before I was a girl mom. And so I knew what boys were like. And, you know, one of the things that we've always said is, and one of my foundational beliefs about children is we choose our partner, but our children are our gifts and responsibility. We don't choose our children. And so when we are given the privilege and the opportunity to raise them, it is something we need to take seriously. It should be our fundamental role, our fundamental priority. And I know that we talked about that. You know, we talked about how we chose each other, but our children are our priority because we're entrusted with them. We have stewardship over them. And, you know, when it comes down to it, I don't sacrifice our relationship. I don't put our relationship on the back burner at all because, you know, as we're noticing, we've got seven teenagers now.
Yeah.
They get into their lives and we become less of a pivot point for them. We become less central to their lives as they get older and they develop their relationships and they get their jobs and they get involved in school and extracurriculars.
Yeah, their lives become primary and the parents and family are definitely secondary as they hit the middle part of their teenage years.
Right.
I've noticed, and especially, you know, my twins turned 16 last almost a year ago and got jobs and it's like, wow, okay. I'll see you guys in the morning.
Yeah.
It's basically when we see them come in and out of the house. But as far as supporting them, you know, it's something that we have to do as parents consistently, but also guiding them and saying, hey, back off your schedule a little bit, you know, money, they see the money and it starts to kind of flow in. But,
you know, it's interesting that you say that because I wanted to point something out about that. And, you know, as the stepmom, You know, our, just to kind of give you a little background of our custody arrangements, Tommy has 50-50 custody with his kids. Mm-hmm. So we get them every other week. With my older two, they are adults and they have their own lives. They do not live with us. My younger two live with us most of the time, and mm-hmm. they get to see their dad over the summers and alternating major holidays and long breaks. So that's kind of how the custody arrangement goes with us. And, you know, you talked about how the twins got their jobs, and, you know, one of your twins works really long hours and often comes home in the wee hours of the morning and then gets up and goes to school. And he's been super, super responsible. Yeah. And, you know, I don't feel like it's my job to step in and say, hey, are you pushing yourself too hard? Mm-hmm. But I do get to step in and say, hey, I'm proud of you for holding everything together. I know how much pressure you're under, you know, and that's kind of how my role as a stepmom, you know, plays into how that situation goes. It's really up to you and his mom to decide how and when to talk to him about his demanding schedule, and me just to support him and encourage him to keep going. And he's doing a great job.
Yeah. And being there as a supportive parent either way for whoever's children doing or the good deed or doing great in life, then we're both there to support them. I guess I have a question coming into the marriage. What was the biggest change and or difference you saw in how you were going to approach my children to compare it to how you've been parenting your children? Because you spent a little over 2 years kind of raising your two youngest on your own.
Yeah.
What was the difference? What was the biggest hurdle and or change that you made in how you parent?
Well, I think, you know, it's interesting because we've had this conversation mm-hmm. with our kids
yeah.
because the way your kids were raised is quite different from the way my kids were raised. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for all intents and purposes, I was super permissive of my kids. When I say my kids in this sense, I'm talking about my younger two. When their dad and I got divorced, it was very tumultuous. Mm-hmm. The divorce wasn't bad, but the circumstances leading up to it were really traumatic. It was a tough year. And, you know, we got separated in late 2019 and then went right into 2020. And, you know, without dropping any words that are going to create unwanted advertisement on our page, we all dealt with that huge global situation that, you know, I don't know that we'll ever recover from. We're still trying to figure out what the new normal is. But they'd come through a lot of trauma too.
Yeah.
In the previous year, their brothers, who did end up moving in with us, moved out suddenly. My dad was diagnosed with cancer and died suddenly. You know, their dad and I separated, and that was really, really unexpected and sudden for all of us. And I was very much about, I just want them to weather this storm. And so I became very permissive. They spent a lot of time on video games, a lot of time talking with their friends online. You know, I'm going through the area where we were, that period of time where we were all separated and doing that social distance thing and schools were shut down. They became very much social through electronics. And it was a boy, we're dealing with a boy and a girl. They didn't spend an awful lot of time together. They didn't have a whole lot in common. So unlike your boys, where when that stuff happened, they had built-in playmates.
Yeah.
It wasn't like that for my kids. I know that you and the boys' mom have been really good about fostering their creativity. And, you know, so they are very much like, if they're bored, they're not on their video games. At least they weren't for a while. They were out playing and, you know, making obstacle courses and building stuff. And, you know, so it was interesting to see that dynamic where my kids, who were practically addicted to games and tablets and social media, and your kids who are not, tendering that balance where why do they get to do this all the time and we don't get to do this all the time? That was a huge challenge just to deal with the kids as they were saying that.
Yeah, I think for them, us trying to acknowledge that adjustment and them seeing, okay, well, my step siblings are doing this and we have to go out and play. You know, why can't we stay inside? Why can't we play games? Why can't we? And I think the biggest hurdle was just explaining that, making that transition as smooth as possible and saying, hey, look, it's fine. Like, there's nothing going wrong. They're not out committing crimes. They're just on their computer.
Just doing it different.
Yeah, they're just doing it different.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, you brought up that year of 2020 and trying to keep kids active and moving. And when you're supposed to, you know, it felt like you couldn't even go outside. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which was such... Anyway.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in another episode completely.
You know, I still, like, I don't care. Go out and kick the ball, you know, whatever. But go do your thing. But keeping them, yeah, watch a show. I mean, I started to become like, I don't care if you watch Disney Channel all day long or Disney Plus, whatever it is. Just do it, because it became easier and less stressful handling that as a single parent to rely on the electronic babysitter.
Right. Well, one of the things, you know, I want to also draw back to is, you know, what we're training, what we're teaching our children about life through this marriage, you know, and our role as a step parent. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that, as I was mentioning before, even though our kids are our priority because they're our responsibility, we still need to nurture our relationship.
Right.
And it's really important to me that, and this was particularly important for the only girl in the family, for her to know how a man should treat a woman. And before we were even married, I think before we were even engaged, she had mentioned how happy she saw me when you were around and because you were in my life. And it was really, really good for me to know that she was seeing that and that she was recognizing it. And I told her, I want you to find a man who treats you the way Tommy treats me, who makes you feel loved and who acknowledges who you are. And that was really, really important for our relationship as far as my kids and particularly my daughter was concerned. But I know it's also important for your kids. And they realize, I mean, it's, I want you to talk a little bit about how the kids realize when something's amiss.
Yeah, our kids are very intuitive to when things are going on. Like, so, you know, you and I have our moments where life gets frustrating and we kind of, maybe you're upstairs and I'm downstairs and the kids will ask, what's wrong? What's going on? You know,
why aren't you guys making out in the kitchen? Because they catch us doing that kind of a lot.
Yeah, and it's very interesting that we've set that baseline for a relationship is affectionate, is always there for each other. Let's go out in the kitchen. No matter what it is, we pick up the slack. And so when there's just a tiny change in that dynamic, is everything okay?
Yeah.
Are you guys all right?
They sense an energy shift.
Yeah. And you know, being in that role and you talked about Kate noticing it, that's all I could ask for in the role of a step parent is that your children respect us, respect our relationship, respect me enough to say, well, I want my life to look like that a little bit.
Right.
You know, they're completely different in their age and how they're growing up as children from where we were at that age. But still, I want them to say, I want to be like, you know, my parents, regardless if they step parent or not, is in that word. Mm-hmm. I want to be like them.
Right.
I want to have a relationship like that. And all we can do is continue to model that and give them an experience of a good home, a good home base. I think we talked about that in our last episode of feeling safe at home.
Yeah.
That's what we want to build as a family and as a role of a step parent is that your children feel just as comfortable in our environment as my children feel in that same environment.
Right.
Although they're doing completely separate things and they're still adjusting. It's still only almost 2 years in.
And I wanted to kind of touch on, you know, something that happened a couple of weeks ago. It was a huge pivotal moment for us when we found out about it. Right. So there's a video game, and I'm not going to mention it because I'm not going to mention it, but there's a video game that our kids can all play cooperatively together. And they started bonding in a way I've never really seen. I mean, the kids My daughter meshes well with the boys. Mm-hmm. My son is a little bit older, and he's very isolated.
Well, she's a little more social in the sense like she needs that interaction with people.
She is very social, and he is more cerebral and isolated. He isolates, and he's more in intrinsic in his thinking. And anyway, we found out that my son was engaging with your boys on this video game, and it was really, really cool to find out.
Yeah.
And then we found out that the boys weren't allowed to play it anymore. Their mom had asked them not to.
Yeah.
And we were sitting at dinner one night, and they started talking about something that had just happened in the game. And they said, "You guys, I thought you weren't allowed to play the game." And they're like, "Oh." And I was like, "Well, that's what your mom said, right? So if your mom has said it in her home, it's the same here."
Yeah.
And if you ignore what your mom said in our home, it undermines her. So if she's got that standard, we get to maintain that standard here. Mm-hmm. Even though it means you guys aren't going to interact that way, we get to respect your mom's rules in our home.
Yeah.
It is as if you're still living in your mom's home. We have the same standards. Yeah. And that's a really, really hard boundary to set with kids when they're going back and forth between homes, because I'm not sure what my kids' standards are when they're at their dad's home. I'm not sure what they're allowed to do and get away with at his house, or what they're restricted from doing at his house that they don't have at my house, you know? But it's a difficult boundary, especially when the kids are going back and forth as much as yours are.
Yeah.
That we do as much as we can to mitigate a lot of difference in what the expectations are for kids, just to set them a level playing field.
Yeah. And it's, you know, that all depends too on us communicating with the other parent. And my communication with her mom has fallen off some. So the kids will try to slide things under the rug, if you will. They'll try to say, "Oh, she said it's okay if we play." So, you know, it's a responsibility for our part to really check into what they're doing at the other place and making sure that we're staying consistent with that.
On the same page.
Because they'll come in and they got to play that game last week because they had a yes day, the movie.
Yes.
So they had a yes day. Well, they sold that to me as, "Well, yeah, mom said we could play." Turns out it was for one day.
Oh my gosh.
And that, you know, I get the text, "What happened to no such and such game?" "Well, you said yes." She's like, "Yeah, for a day." So it's a responsibility as parents and step parents to really check in with the other parent.
Right.
If they're spending that much time back and forth, especially.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, but you're stepping in at the dinner table and saying, you know, holding that boundary as a step parent for the other kids is huge. It holds them accountable on all sides.
Well, and it almost felt like I needed to say it because it wasn't coming from mom or dad.
Yeah.
It wasn't, "I told you what to do," because it's not very often. I mean, there are occasions when I'll step in and be like, "Hey, so-and-so, you're on unload. Would you mind unloading the dishes? Hey, so-and-so, you're on trash," you know, and it hits different coming from me, I think, than coming from you. You know,
you don't get the eye roll and you don't get the,
"Well, I might, but I can't hear their eye rolls the way I can hear my daughter's eye rolls. I can hear her eye rolls from two floors away." But you know, I think it just hits a little bit differently. And you know, I think we want to get into one of the kids. We were talking to the kids and we asked them, "Well, what should we talk about?" And one of the things they said is, "Why do you guys parent so differently?" Cause we do, we're totally different in our parenting styles. You know, I think that also plays a role, is that they're used to hearing how their mom parents them and they're used to hearing how you parent them. And so when I step in and step parent them, you know, it hits a little differently.
Yeah.
So it was like, "Oh, wow, you know, she's not mom or dad and she's calling us out on sliding one under." And I think, you know,
I think the reaction's a little more immediate when it comes from that, because, you know, you're two youngest see me parent a lot differently than I do my own.
Yeah.
And so when I ask them for something, they seem to jump on it right away because they've seen me get
be full parent
disciplinarian
with
them. And they're like, "I don't want that," you know, but it's not to lead by fear or parent by fear. It's just that's the difference.
Yeah.
You know, they know that they're going to get in trouble if they don't step up and do what they're supposed to.
Right.
And so, yeah, that's kind of where we are with our roles in each other's kids' lives, is that we just need to be great examples. We need to model a good, solid relationship. And
absolutely. And I think, you know, the important thing to realize as step parent is your job is not to be the parent. Your job is to step in and support the parents.
Yeah.
And, you know, your biggest role with your stepchildren is to love and to support and to mimic positive behavior, mm-hmm. you know, not to displace the bio yeah. parents.
So anyway, that's it, guys. If you have any questions about how we do things or what we're doing, or just want to reach out and give some feedback, please do. We'll have all the links in our description below, but it's been a fun episode, and it's always fun to talk to you and our experiences, even though we talk to each other every day. We want to share it with you guys and hope that it helps.
Yeah. If you have any suggestions for future topics, by all means, drop us a line and let us know. Our email's below or comment under the video. And thanks for tuning in for this episode.
All right. Thanks a lot, you guys. Bye-bye.